This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Pain isn't something we expect to talk about when it comes to sex, especially for people who were assigned male at birth. But for a lot of people, discomfort during intimacy, pain afterwards, or ongoing pelvic pain gets brushed off, ignored, or completely normalized. So how do we tell what's common, what's not, and what we can actually do about it? You know who knows? Alex Lopez from Pelvic Health Melbourne. Alex, great to chat with you again.
And you too, Warren. Now,
when people hear pelvic health, many still think it only applies to women, but for people who were assigned male at birth, what actually falls under pelvic health? Let's start with that.
Quite a lot. So pelvic health, I always think of as kind of guts down through lower pelvis. So definitely still covers bladder, bowel, but definitely a very big part of the intimacy function. So for those assigned male at birth, we see a lot of clients with testicular pain, penile pain, so it can be shaft or the glands themselves, and then perineal pain, or just behind the testes, between the testes and the anus. All of that is encompassing pelvic pain.
How common is this, and why do so many suffer quietly when it comes to pain during intimacy?
In terms of prevalence, it's much less prevalent in those assigned male at birth that compared to those assigned female at birth because of the menses, the periods. So, but for those assigned male at birth, I haven't got stats right on me. I'm thinking it's about 1% to 2%. So that's probably one in, you know, or one or two in 100. I see a disproportionate amount. So my caseload is 90% those assigned male at birth. And so pretty much every patient who walks through the door to see me will generally have penile, testicular, abdominal, anal pain, and that often affects their ability to be able to be intimate in a successful way for them.
When pain shows up during intimacy, Alex, what are some of the, I suppose, the most common physical reasons behind it?
Huge. Prostatitis is always first, so we've always got to think about infection. So that's kind of almost one that's alleviated out. They generally would often give antibiotics, suspect it's an irritation of the prostate, and then if it doesn't clear, then often they go further. So often inflammation, infection, it could be bladder. From my point of view, it's often associated, they could have a strain through the hip flexor. Often I'll see a lot of my those assigned male at birth at the gym, and they might have strained something, and that might refer down to the testes. Hernia are other common complications. So you might have developed a hernia. You might have an entrapment, undescended testicles. You can get a thing called epididymitis, which is a problem with the testes itself. So there's a huge amount of things that could be going on to contribute to these problems.
As you're talking, Alex, I'm thinking, I'm sure a lot of your patients would assume that this pain is normal and it's just part of life, part of intimacy. And I'm just thinking, it must rob them of really enjoying it.
Oh, massively. But you know what? You often don't think it's normal because for most of my clients, they haven't had pain before. So they've been sexually active, if it's solo play or partner play, and they've had no issues before, and then all of a sudden they're starting to get issues. So generally people are aware of it. The biggest complication I find is seeking help, as we've always talked about. So it's that first step to the GP to find the right care team and or your urologist to actually kind of get everything cleared and make sure it's not anything sinister. The other big one to talk about, urinary burning, so also penile pain and testicular pain, particularly the burning, of course, our STIs. So gonorrhea, syphilis, herpes, those are all the ones that can cause persistent urinary burn. So of course, yeah, get out and get it checked out.
Alex, I love the fact that, you know, these conversations can be difficult for someone to bring up necessarily with their health professional, and they shouldn't be. But I love that we're talking about them on Drive here, because this is part of the normalisation, isn't it, of talking about these things?
Oh, As you know, I am so passionate about it and about it being normalised and that we get comfortable just asking these questions. You know, whilst I say it might only 1% to 2%, if you're that 1% to 2%, it's really real in your life and the impact can be ginormous. For some of my young men in their 20s and 30s to not be able to be confident in their ability to achieve an erection, particularly when it matters, is huge.
We're chatting with Alex Lopez from Pelvic Health Melbourne about intimacy pain. Let's go right to the bottom of the conversation. Those who are bottoming, Alex, for people who experience pain, what's usually happening in the body when things feel tight, perhaps a bit sharp or a bit uncomfortable?
Beautiful. Okay, so the bottoming concerns that I will come and see, interestingly, it tends to be more in my hetero couples who are with anal play.
Oh.
I tend to find my men who have sex with men are generally very good. They know how to relax. So the key function is often tension. So often it'll come with you get hemorrhoids or fissures. So that's, we've talked about this in the past when we've talked about bowel dysfunction and pooping. So it is all about that ability to relax, to billow the stomach and bear down and actually really relax that external anal sphincter to have effective bottoming sex without pain. We can get there, but if you've got hemorrhoids, fissures, other problems, it makes it a real challenge.
What's the risk?
Because you're in pain, so it's hard not to clench.
What's the risk of not relaxing and persisting to bottom if you do have this pain?
Oh, I'm so nervous saying this. Of course, tears are a higher risk, but again, I've got to say, Ryan, for my clients, my men who have sex with men, it is rarely a problem because I find they're generally really good at it, or they're well aware of numbing, well aware of muscle relaxants for the area, so, and they're able to access that. So I do find it, as I said, it's less of an issue. I tend to find it's with my clients assigned female at birth who get... Yes,
Alex.
I'm here. Sorry, Warren.
See, the universe was trying to say you can't talk about these intimate subjects, and we're like, no, we can. We're going to get there. We're going.
I know. I've got to be careful. Oh no! Absolutely, we can.
Definitely, we can. Let's. You mentioned about the men who have sex with men, sort of knowing what to do in terms of being able to get access to relaxants. What sort of relaxants can be used to help?
Yes. So, you can use like a diazepam. So, you can use a very localized muscle relaxant there, or creams that do have a relaxant in them for the area, which can be really useful if you've got tension. You can use suppositories as well. I find that tends to go a bit more into the rectum, but it's actually not bad for relaxing the whole pelvic floor.
Oh.
Worst case scenario, this is not normally for intimacy, but it's for my recurrent fissures. Those that keep getting skin cracks. We sometimes refer off for Botox to the pelvic floor to actually help relax it because they're not able to relax themselves. Yeah, this is all the treatments that are out there, Warren. It's fabulous.
I had no idea that you could get Botox for your bum.
You can.
That's amazing.
Botox not the anal sphincter. Right. Obviously, we want that to stay functioning, but the muscles inside, the pelvic floor.
Right.
Yeah,
okay.
So the sling, the ones that often are hard to relax, that we can safely Botox, but the anal sphincter, everyone wants that functioning.
We want that functioning,
for obvious
reasons. we don't want the icing bag that we can't control. Now, Shane... Shane from Wodonga has sent in a message saying, I get this stabbing urethra pain and no doctor has given me a clear answer of what it is, tested for everything.
So depending on where in the urethra, so first, if you've tested all STIs, which is most commonly, sometimes there's a condition called lichen planus that can actually go, they're kind of lesions that can go into the actual wee tube. Again, that's rare. The other complication, or the other thing it can be, is the pudendal nerve. There's a branch that goes and goes into the urethra, the membranous part of the urethra. It refers to there.
Right.
And that can get caught underneath the testes. So it's kind of the nerve that can get irritated when you cycle a lot. If you sit a lot, you're doing a lot of squats. So sometimes that's where, that's really our mix, what we see. So what we can do is trace the nerve on the outside first and see if we can reproduce urethral pain. If we can't, we do have to do a rectal exam and we trace the nerve on the inside of the pelvis to see see where it might be trapped.
Right.
Often it's tension related, Warren, again, and it, but sometimes there's a bit of fascial tightness that we can release off and release these symptoms.
Alex, are there any everyday habits that we can do, like, you know, stress, posture, gym routines, etc., clenching that can contribute to pelvic pain?
The big one. Warren, have you got a pen in front of you? And all your listeners, if you've got a pen, grab your pen, okay? Put a massive dot. Now, not a freckle. I mean a massive dot the size of a 10-cent piece,
right,
at least, if not 20, on your hand.
Yep.
All right? This is an Alexism. This is non-scientific. Right, for the next day or two, I want you to, whenever you see that dot, bring your focus down to your pelvic floor, yeah? Your front, middle, and back. So around the anus, around the testes, yep, around your wee tube. And let it go. Oh, let it sag.
Let's do it now.
Yeah, testes go heavy, relax. Exactly.
Right.
First contract it and then let it go.
Yep.
So many individuals I see suck their guts in. They're either gut grippers or butt grippers.
Oh, yeah.
And just they learn these habits and they're constantly gripping on. And therefore, if you're gripping on all the time, it's like you're carrying the five bricks in your arm all day. Oh. When you let them go, it won't relax properly.
Okay, so get a pen.
So this is a big part. Get a pen. Yep.
Circle
on your hand.
Yep,
and every time you see it for the next day or two, every time, you can be sitting, standing, wherever you are, let your guts go, let your tummy relax, let your pelvic floor go, and did you feel anything drop? If you did... You were holding tension, yeah? That's the most, I think, monumental trick that I kind of do with all my clients. And so many of them come back and say, Alex, oh, my God, I'm on 100% of time. I'm sucking in. I didn't know. You fix that. We're halfway there.
Let it all go. I love that. It's a nice
That's
feeling,
my big gem
it?
For Wouldn't the
that,
day.
That's really good.
Yeah.
One more SMS from James saying, hey, Warren, men should know about... Now, I don't know how to say this. Is it Peyronie's and...
Peyronie's is another one. Thank you so much for that comment. So we used to say Peyronie's is really rare. I think it's much more common than we used to. Peyronie's is where you can get these plaques in the actual tissue. Erectile tissue is kind of like a sea sponge.
Right.
Yeah, you can get these little plaques in it and then it causes the penis to bend if they're severe enough. Mm-hmm. You can get little rice grains. Yeah, which it won't bend, but you can feel them. They're a bit scarring along the shaft.
Right.
You can get a complete bend, as in up to 90 degrees.
Oh, wow.
Because this plaque grabs it, and or you get an hourglassing effect where it almost cinches in at some point along the shaft.
Wow. So
Peyronie's, I think, is much more common than is discussed. And I do think it's a really great one to talk about with my men having sex with men. Being careful about the thrusting, watching your angles, because some, you know, you get, you don't have to answer this, but for some of my men, if they're in play, they'll get a real grab, almost like we talk about that fracture of the penis, but it's just a little bleed. Those not managed well are just like a corky in the penis.
Oh, really? What about...
And then we can get these Peyronie's.
What about Balanitis? Balanitis.
It's like... It's thrush. So, Balanitis. It's kind of where you get like the smegma or the discharge.
Oh.
And you're getting an infection normally around the head. Much more common with those with a foreskin. And so, often it's just around... You know, so many of my men... You've got to retract your foreskin, gentlemen.
Retract it.
The men's got to be retracting the foreskin when you're weeing to make sure that urine doesn't get trapped underneath there, because that's where it can get more prone when it's wet to yeast-like infections, which is really all that is.
And that's you can smell those, can't you?
You can. And they'll often get a discharge. The other reason you can get it is a thing called phimosis. You're learning all these new words.
I know.
Which is the foreskin can retract, yeah? So it doesn't actually retract properly, and so cleaning is really difficult. So they're all the other different conditions that you can have.
Alex, we've got so much to talk about. We've run out of time.
We've hardly scratched the surface, as always.
Alex, love chatting with you. It's always good. I look forward to having our next conversation.
Absolutely. Thanks, Warren.
Thanks for joining us. That was Alex Lopez from Pelvic Health Melbourne.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.